This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As taught follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight, we share the seventh dhikr of the morning and evening adhkar. And this is a dhikr that was narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. He said, لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدع هؤلاء الدعوات حين يمسي وحين يصبح. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never fail to say these words in the evening and in the morning. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dini wa dunyai wa ahli wa mali. Allahumma astur awrati wa amir rawati. Allahumma ahfazni min bayni yadayya wa min khalfi wa an yamini wa an shimali wa min fawqi. وَأَعُوذُ بِعَظَمَتِكَ أَنْ أُغْتَالَ مِنْ تَحْتِي. This is a dhikr for tonight. It is to be said once in the morning, once in the evening. First and foremost, once again we observe in this narration that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, لَمْ يَكُنْ يَدَعْ هَؤُلَاءِ الدَّعَوَاتِ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never fail to say them. What does this imply? Once again, it implies consistency. Every time he reached the morning and every time he reached the evening, he would say this dhikr. It began with Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma. We've gone through Allahumma many times now to say that this means Ya Allah, calling unto Allah Azza wa Jal through all His beautiful names. Inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Oh Allah, I ask you, inni meaning I, as'aluka, I ask you, al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. I ask you for afiyah, safety and protection and well-being in this worldly life and in the next life. Even the first part of this dhikr, the sleeve, is asking Allah Azza wa Jal for safety and protection from all evils and all harms that could happen to him in this worldly life and in the afterlife. What are the harms that could happen to a person in this worldly life? Because when you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to save you from the harms of this worldly life, you need to be aware. What are the things that harm a person in this worldly life? There are many. A person could be harmed in his health, in his wealth, in his children, in his spouse, in his work, in his studies, in his travels. So many things that we do on a day-to-day basis. When you say, oh Allah, I ask you for protection and well-being and safety in my dunya-related matters, then you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to give you safety and protection in all of that which is related to you in this worldly life. And so, you know, there's something that we should answer here. And that is that if a person is consistent upon the adhkar of the morning and the evening, and he continues to ask Allah for protection in this worldly life and in the next, let's say this person, Allah Azza wa Jal begins to test him, sends him a calamity in his wealth, in his children, in his spouse, in his travel, whatever it is. And this person falls into doubt. And he says, I've been committing to adhkar al-sabah wal-masa'. I'm making this dhikr. You said if we make this dhikr, then Allah Azza wa Jal grants us safety and well-being. So how come I am being tested every single day? You see, look, this is a different topic. The trials and the calamities and the tribulations and the difficulties that affect a person. But I just want to share it from this hadith. The ulama, rahimahum Allah, they say that there is no doubt. Allah Azza wa Jal said, خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created the human being in difficulty. And there is no escape from difficulty. Each and every single person will endure calamities in his life, no doubt. We continuously say, even the last moment, the final breath, when a person leaves this worldly life, that's an extreme calamity. Allah refers to it in the Quran. فَأَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةُ الْمَوْتِ. that you are struck by the calamity of death. So there is no escape. So what does this mean then? If we say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya, O Allah, grant us protection and safety from all worldly calamities and harms and evils and fitan and trials and tribulations. What does it mean if I continue to be bombarded with calamities and difficulties? Al ulama, rahimahumullah, they say, in this case, it would mean that a person is asking Allah Azza wa Jal to grant him patience during these calamities. Even when you ask Allah to grant you safety and protection and well-being in this worldly life, and then you receive tons and tons of difficulties and calamities, it means you are asking Allah Azza wa Jal to grant you patience. How is patience protection? Because when you're patient upon the calamities of life, your deen is protected. If you're not patient, you lose your iman. As a result, you lose in this worldly life, you lose in the afterlife. So as-sabr, it's as though a person is asking Allah Azza wa Jal, grant me protection in my worldly affairs. I don't want to see calamities. This is the attitude of the believer. Never ever does the believer wish for calamities. We should never wish for a calamity. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تتمنوا لقاء العدو. Don't wish to meet the enemy. The enemy coming to you is a calamity. I don't want to meet an enemy. I don't want calamities in my life. So you ask Allah, اللَّهُمَّنْ يَسَلُكَ الْعَافِيَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Oh Allah, grant me protection and well-being and safety from all calamities of this worldly life and its evils. But if something does get to you, it shouldn't shake your faith to say, I asked, and I keep asking, and it's still coming. Calamities, what's happening? Isn't he listening to me? Don't be fooled in this manner. Rather, you need to now switch and understand that if Allah Azza wa Jal grants you patience upon these calamities, then he's really granting you what? Protection. And your deen's being protected. It's being preserved. And now if Allah Azza wa Jal grants you the fact that you are pleased with these calamities, and then you reach an even higher level in where you begin to thank Allah for these blessings, for these calamities. Now Allah Azza wa Jal has really, really given you afiyah in your worldly affairs. So this is how we understand this part of a dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, al-afiyah fi al-akhirah as well. When you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant you protection in the afterlife, what does that mean? Meaning, the afterlife, you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to protect you from the horrors and the difficulties of that day. The sun that comes right above the head of the people, the books when they are being distributed, some are taking by their right, some are taking by their left, the scales in where your deeds will be weighed on. This is the same scale that the companions' deeds would be put on. And so our deeds are going to be put on the same scale. It's indeed a difficulty. As-sirat, walking on top of Jahannam. And then the punishment, the hellfire. So when you say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah fi dunya wal-akhirah, you're saying, oh Allah, protect me from the calamities here and from the calamities over there, the difficulties over there. How beautiful is this dua? Pretty much already the first part of the dua covered all your issues. But now the dua will begin to elaborate and specify certain things that a person could be tested in this worldly life. Al-afiyah. Let's first speak something about al-afiyah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, al-afiyah, protection, well-being. This is the greatest gift a person could be given after the gift of certainty in Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-afiyah, well-being, protection, is the most valuable treasure and blessing you will ever possess in your life. It is the second greatest blessing that is ever known to us. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, سَلُوا اللَّهَ الْعَفْوَ وَالْعَافِيَةِ. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness and for protection and well-being. Then he said, فَإِنَّ أَحَدًا لَمْ يُعْطَ بَعْدَ الْيَقِينِ خَيْرًا مِنَ الْمُعَافَةِ. He said, because no one has ever been given something better than al-yaqeen, or the second best thing that a person is given is protection, al-afiyah. Yani the first best blessing that a person is given is steadfastness of the heart, belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, and absolute certainty in Allah Azza wa Jal. And the second best blessing is that you are protected from calamities of this worldly life and the calamities of the afterlife. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith of Ubaidillah ibn Muhsin radiyallahu anhu, listen to this. He said, "Man asbaha aminan fi sirbih." Anyone who wakes up every morning safe in his environment, mu'afan fi jasadih, he wakes up safe and protected in his body, indahu qutu yawmih, and he has the food of his day, not food of another year, he just has the food of today. فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَافِيرِهَا. It's as though he has possessed the entire world and everything that is on it. Not just حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا, he's been given as though he's possessed the world. بِحَذَافِيرِهَا, meaning everything that is in it as well, from one edge to the other edge. Everything is for him. If you have these three blessings, and these are blessings, protection, عَافِيَة, right? Especially when he said, مُعَافًا فِي جَسَدِهِ. If you get up and you have well-being and protection in your body, in your health, it's as though you've owned the entire worldly life. Allahu Akbar. How does this make sense? Yani, I'll give you an example. Let's say that you really, really physically owned this worldly life. Let's say you purchased all of it. Really, it's all to your name. And then you woke up one morning paralyzed. All of this worldly life, would it bring back your health? It won't. So now what's more valuable? Your health, that you get up mu'afan fi jasadih, or that you own the entire worldly life and you get up the next morning paralyzed? No doubt. No doubt what is more valuable is for you to get up and be protected in your health. SubhanAllah, this is what it means that you have owned the entire worldly life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that being granted protection, this blessing of protection, this is equal to this entire worldly life and everything that is on it. SubhanAllah. And this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, every single morning we are to thank Allah for the blessing of afiyah. That's why when you wake up, a sunnah is to say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi afani fi jasadi. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah who gave me protection and safety and well-being in my body. Ah, I woke up, my ears are still working, my eyes are still seeing, my tongue is still working, my heart is still functioning, the lungs are working, the legs are working, the hands are working, the neck. Like I thank Allah Azza wa Jal and say, Alhamdulillah alladhi afani fi jasadi. So we're supposed to thank Allah Azza wa Jal every morning for the blessing of afiyah. This is how precious and valuable and much of a treasure it is. Listen to this hadith. Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, who is the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day. He said, Ya Rasulullah, allimni shay'an as'aluhu Allah. He said, O Messenger of Allah, teach me something in which I can ask Allah Azza wa Jal. Teach me. How do I ask Allah? How do I request from Allah? What do I say when I ask Allah? Teach me something. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, سل الله العافية. Ask Allah عز وجل for protection. Ask Him for well-being. Say, اللهم إني أسألك العافية. And what this means, what entails this word of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, what it actually entails of meaning, is that you should never ask Allah عز وجل for trouble and calamities. Not like this one companion that existed in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas radiallahu anhu narrates his story. Anas, he says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon a man. قَدْ صَارَ مِثْلَ الْفَرَخ. He was like a bird. Yani meaning, you know how a bird has a soft voice? Meaning this person was so sick on his bed that his voice was like a bird's voice. It was very low. You know, a sick person, he can't scream, he can't talk loud. Get me a cup of water. Like this. He talks very low. Sick. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم visits him. So he said to him, هل كنت تدعو ربك بشيء? He said to this man, did you used to ask Allah عز وجل for anything? You know what this man said? He said, yes, I used to say, oh Allah, whatever you are going to punish me in the afterlife, punish me here in this worldly life. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, سبحان الله. He's amazed. He's shocked. Why would you do this? لا تطيقه. You cannot bear with this. Look at you. Look at your case now. Then he said to him, why didn't you say, ربنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Why didn't you say, oh Allah, grant me a حسنة in this worldly life? I think it was Shafi'i rahimahullah who said, حسنة, the حسنة of this worldly life are two matters, that you're steadfast upon the worship and al-afiyah, protection. This is the hasana of the worldly life, that Allah grants you protection from calamities, illnesses, sicknesses, and harm. So we go back to the hadith of the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, say, oh Allah, I ask you for protection. Then Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu said, days went by. So I came back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I said, ya Rasulullah, allimni shay'an as'aluhu Allah. Look at this. He came again. He said, ya Rasulullah, teach me words that I would say when I make dua to Allah. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, ya Abbas, ya amma Rasulillah, salillah al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. He said to him, ya Abbas, my dear uncle, ask Allah for safety and protection and well-being in this worldly life and in the afterlife. Allahu Akbar. He stressed upon the fact that you should be asking for this, and this is the greatest thing to ask for. My brothers and sisters in Islam, al-afiyah, well-being and protection is success. Wallah, it's success in this worldly life and in the afterlife. It is the best thing you can ask Allah Azza wa Jal for. Nothing compares to it. Nothing can replace it. Al-afiyah is Allah protecting the slave. The one who asks Allah for afiyah, he is asking Allah to protect him. Subhanallah. Indeed, it is a huge and a great matter. And this is why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, as Anas radiallahu anhu narrated, he said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marra bi qawmin mubtalain. He crossed paths with a group of people that were mubtalain. They were extreme, they were being tested in an extreme manner. These people were suffering. How can Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just pass by and saw a suffering nation? So you know what he said? He said, أَمَا كَانَ هَٰؤُلَاءَ يَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ. Didn't these people used to ask Allah for afiyah, for protection and well-being? As though Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, if they had asked afiyah, they wouldn't have been in the state they're in. But they did not ask for afiyah. And this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask for al-afiyah in more than one position of a salat. Yani it's been narrated that from dua al-istiftah, when he would begin his salat, from the dua al-istiftah, a long one, but within it he would say, Allahumma ighfirli wahdini warzuqni wa'afini, grant me protection and safety and well-being. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to sit between the two sujood, al-jalsa, between the sajdatain, in there he would say, Allahumma ighfirli warhamni wa'afini wahdini warzuqni, afini. He used to ask Allah for afiyah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again, in al-witr, he would say, Allahumma ahdini fi man hadayt, wa'afini fi man afayt. Grant me protection from among those slaves that you have given protection and well-being. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he would sleep, he would make a dhikr, a dua, long one. At the end of it, he would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. This is how he would conclude it. Then he would sleep, right? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to visit the cemetery, he used to walk in and he would say, As-salamu alaykum ahl al-diyari min al-mu'mineen wal-muslimin wa inna insha'allahu bikum lahiqoon. As'alullaha lana wa lakum al-afiyah. He would say, oh Allah, I ask that you grant us protection and well-being and grant them protection and well-being. You should also, one of the dua for the dead is to ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant them afiyah as well. Then these are the greatest two gifts. What are they? What's the first greatest gift? Al-yaqeen billah, certainty and belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. Number two, al-afiyah, protection. And now this is the thing. You know these two? They go hand in hand. The more yaqeen, the more afiyah you'll see in your life. Let me give you an example. Musa alayhi salam, huge calamity he is facing, the entire army of Fir'aun in front of him. He says, Kalla inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen, my Lord is with me, he will guide me. What's that? That's certainty. What happened after? Allah protected him from Fir'aun and the army of Fir'aun and destroyed them in a miraculous way. Look at the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave. He says, Inna Allah ma'ana. He says to Abu Bakr radiallahu, this is certainty. Surely Allah azza wa jal is with us. He didn't say to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, don't worry, we're in a cave, we're in the darkness of the cave, impossible for someone to see us. No, no, these are all means, they don't work in and of themselves. But inna Allah ma'ana. What happened? فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ. Immediately Allah's tranquility descended and Allah Azza wa Jal protected them from their enemy. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was thrown in a fire and he says, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ. He said the word Allah. This is certainty, this is firm belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. What happened? When he's in a fire, he's protected, it's not burning him. Similarly, the case of Yunus alayhi salam, he's in a whale. Yani today, if someone ends up in a whale, the entire technology of earth will not be able to locate him. Gone, finished, khalas. But even then, he said, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. This is absolute belief and certainty in Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallah would keep him safe in his calamity until the whale brings him out. So this is an idea, they work together. When there is certainty, there is protection. So now, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Oh Allah, protect me and grant me safety and well-being in this worldly life and in the afterlife. And we explained what that is. And I said to you that this is a general dua. Now, as we move forward in the dua, more specific matters are going to be mentioned. The next part, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dini wa dunyai wa ahli wa mali. Firstly, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afu. Oh Allah, I ask you for afu. I ask you for complete forgiveness. Al-afu is forgiveness. And so within this dhikr, there is a dua from the slave to his Lord that he completely forgive his sins. Al-afu. Al-afu is when something is completely wiped away. Yani the Arabs, they would say, عَفَتِ الرِّيحُ الْأَثَرُ. Meaning if a strong wind blows, and it removes all the traces, then that's known as عَفَتِ الرِّيحُ الْأَثَرُ. Like you have footsteps in sand, and a strong wind would blow, you will not see a single foot track, a footprint, it's gone. So al-afu is complete forgiveness of the sin, it's completely wiped away. What does that mean? Meaning it doesn't exist in the record. There are no consequences that you will suffer. Because sometimes a person may have a sin. Allah might forgive the sin, but the consequence is still in his life. So maybe he's forgiven for the sin, but the consequence of that sin was that he'll forget some knowledge, or that he'll go through a certain calamity. And that consequence remains with him, because he hasn't received afu, complete wiping and forgiveness of the sin. So al-afu is you asking Allah, Allah, wipe away the sin, not only the sin, but also wipe away the calamity that it was going to bring. All of its consequences, wipe them away. And I do not want to be questioned about it on the day of judgment. This is what al-afu is. And of course, from the names of Allah Azza wa Jal is al-afu. And this is the name that we are supposed to live with in the last 10 days of Ramadan. When we say, what's the greatest dua to make in the last 10 days of Ramadan? Allahumma innaka afu, tuhibbu al-afu, fa'afu anni. You need to live with ismullah al-afu in the last 10 days of Ramadan. That's the only name of Allah Azza wa Jal that is supposed to be in clear, bold letters, is Ismullah al-Afu. And so now in Adhkar al-Sabah al-Masa, it's there as well, asking Allah Azza wa Jal for complete forgiveness. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah's forgiveness and His complete forgiveness, this name al-Afu, is unlike any of His creation. Look today, in this society that we live in this worldly life that we live in, if a person commits a crime, maybe committed a crime, then he did time for his crime, entered prison or whatever it is, and khalas, he's done, he's served his time, he's come out. That crime he did is recorded against his name, doesn't get wiped away. So now if he wanted to apply for a job, for example, it'll affect his work. They'll do a security background check. Oh, he's got an offense he committed 20 years ago. As a result, sorry, we don't need you here. Hard time traveling because he's blacklisted. See, this is how we do, right? And Allah Azza wa Jal in a total, complete different manner in how Allah Azza wa Jal deals with the creation. Allah Azza wa Jal afu, meaning afu, it's finished, it's gone, it doesn't hassle you, that sin ever again. It won't haunt you ever again in your life, in your grave and in the afterlife. Gone, finished. Subhanallah. Very important dua, and I do not believe. How can a believer, witness the morning and the evening go by and he doesn't say this. Yani anti, you don't have any sins that are to your name that you want wiped away completely? Oh, if you don't, then don't say it. Amma, if you do, then this should be on the list every single day and every single evening. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa, complete forgiveness. Then, wal-afiyata fi dini wa dunyai. Now we say, oh Allah, I ask you for protection, safety and well-being in fi dini, in my deen, wa dunyai, in my worldly related matters, wa ahli, in my family, wa mali, in my wealth. Now these things, aren't they already covered in the beginning of the dua? Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal akhirah. They were already covered up there. But now there's a specific mention of them. It's as though the slave now is repeating a dua. And you know, this is something beautiful in a dua. Repetition in dua makes the dua more likely to be accepted, right? This is one of the etiquette of dua. This is one of the manners of dua. Al-ilhahu fi al-talab. Al-ilhah meaning begging Allah and repeating this thing time after time after time. Right, just like we do with last 10 days of Ramadan. Allahumma innaka afu tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anni. Allahumma innaka afu tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anni. And you keep repeating this. Even now there's a repetition, but in different words. So it can keep the heart alive and keep it present. So now we're saying, oh Allah, we ask you protection in matters related to my religion, fi dini. You know, my brothers and sisters in Islam, you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal protection in your deen. What does that mean? Meaning, oh Allah, save me from doubts. Because if you fall in doubts, your deen is not protected anymore. You're asking Allah to save you from doubts, from misguidance, from deviation, from sins, from innovation. All of this is when you say, Allahumma yas'aluka al-afwa al-afiyah fi deeni. I ask you for protection and safety and well-being in my deen. And then what dunyai was mentioned. What does that mean? A deen was mentioned first. Then the world was mentioned next. This implies that the greatest of the two is the deen of a person. The most important thing you will possess in this worldly life is your iman, is your faith, is your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why you asked Allah to protect you in your deen before you asked Him to protect your worldly matters. And a deen. You lose your deen, you've lost this worldly life, you've lost the afterlife. Your deen is protected and preserved. Well, until you're successful in this worldly life and you're successful in the afterlife. And that's why there's strong emphasis always in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal would say, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't you dare die except as believers. Allah Azza wa Jal would say about Yusuf alayhi salam, would say, تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا. My Lord, cause me to die upon Islam and submission to you. This was a worry. This was a worry of prophets that they wanted to die upon Islam and Iman. So this is why a person continues to ask, oh Allah, I ask you protection in my deen first. I don't care about my wealth. I don't care about my family, which is coming later. I don't care about my worldly related matters. First one is my deen. If I'm protected in this, doesn't matter what happens at the end with the other stuff. Money comes and goes, family comes and goes. You will die, they'll die. You will realize no one is a benefit to you in this worldly life. At the time of death, this is when you will know. Money was no benefit. Family was no benefit. Well, what can your family benefit you at the time of death other than to hold your hand or pat your head? What else? Cars were of no benefit. Work was of no benefit. Business partners were of no benefit. Medicine was of no benefit. Professionals at the hospital were of no benefit. Nothing is of benefit. You will realize at that moment that a deen was of benefit. You'll realize the righteous deeds were of benefit. And they'll go. And they'll go into your grave as well. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a person is taken to his grave, three things follow him. Two things go back and one thing stays. And that's his righteous deeds stay with him. This is what benefits you. And you're resurrected on the day of judgment. And the deeds are still following you. And they're put on the scale. Halas, that's the thing that's attached to you. Everything else is gone. So most definitely it's going to be the first thing in this dhikr. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa al-afiyah fi dini. Now, fi dini. Then wa dunyai. Then you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant you protection, safety and well-being in your dunya related matters. Meaning, Allah, protect me from calamities, from sicknesses, from pains and from the other calamities that people experience in this life. Then he said, wa ahli wa mali. And protect me, grant me safety and well-being in Ahli. Ahli. Now, Ahli wa Mali are two things related to Dunyai. And I want to see the structure. Fi Dini is religious affairs, al-Iman. Then what was it? Dunyai, my worldly related matters. Then he said, Ahli wa Mali. My wealth, my family, my wealth. Is family and wealth part of my dunya? Ah, either now this is a specific after a specific. And now you're coming down to that which is more specific. Why these two in specific? Why, like for example, health wasn't mentioned, or other things that were related to a person's work, for example, his travels, nothing was mentioned. Ahli wa mali. These two things are a fitna for a person. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. These two things are always mentioned together. Family and wealth. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا. Wealth and children, wealth and family are the decoration of this worldly life. And so when a person is asking Allah Azza wa Jalla to protect him in his family and his wealth, meaning first and foremost, he's asking Allah Azza wa Jalla, protect them. Protect my family from sickness, from illness, from sins, from fitan, from harms, from LGBT agenda. Naam, this includes in this. Focus, keep your mind alert and on when you're making this dua. Your heart must be present when you're asking Allah, protect my family. From what? Start thinking of things you want Allah Azza wa Jal to protect them from. When you think of this, what does it? It gives you strength in the heart that and I asked Allah Azza wa Jal, khalas, and now I rely upon Allah. But the one that is in fee all the time, and we don't know what's happening and what they're doing, and he's stressed, and they're relaxed. Did you make the dua? If you did, then tawakkal ala Allah. Nothing will reach you. Nothing will harm you nor your children. Amma, if you didn't make the dua, then brother, you need to stress Allah. Because you got no protection. You got no backbone. You don't have Allah's protection. Now it's up to you how you deal with your life. Faithen, be aware of these meanings. Now, so you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to protect your family from everything that may harm them in their deen and in their worldly matters. Wa mali, and oh Allah, I ask you well-being and safety and protection for my wealth. Meaning, wealth, it could be lost, could be stolen, you could be oppressed in your wealth. So when you say, oh Allah, protect me in my wealth, meaning, preserve this wealth for me. Don't make me fall a victim to oppression, fall a victim of of money and oppression that happens in money. For this is the meaning of this dua when you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to protect your wealth. Then we say, Allahumma astur awrati. Now we're moving forward. We say, oh Allah, cover my privates. Allahumma astur awrati. Satr means to cover, to conceal, to hide something. That's what satr means. Awrat, it comes from the word awra. Awra is what? How do people generally translate awra? Private parts, awrat. But actually, al-awra is everything that is feedful and protected. This is what awra is, everything that is feedful. And as a result, you feel a sense of urge that I need to protect it. This is what awra initially is. And this is why a country that neighbors a country, that country is its enemy. And if a country neighbors its enemy, they call the country that is at risk a awra. And for example, Ukraine and Russia. These are two countries next to each other. Which one's the most at risk according to what we see? It's Ukraine. So Ukraine now would be called a awra because it's the one most at risk. This is what awrah means. And so, because it's most at risk, it's unprotected, there's a sense of urgency to protect it. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He says about the hypocrites, when they did not want to join the battle with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said to him, إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا awrah. Our homes are awrah. What does that mean? Meaning our homes are unprotected. Our homes are vulnerable. They're at risk of damage and vandalism and destruction. Yeah, we need to go back. Do we have a concession? Allah Azza wa Jalla exposes the truth. He says, وَمَا هِيَ بِعَوْرَةٍ. No, it was protected. There was no issue on that. But they're the ones that wanted to run away. إِن يُرِيدُونَ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. They just wanted to run away from the battle. But the idea was, This is awrah. Okay? Now, I share this to tell you that also when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-mar'atu awrah, that a woman is awrah. Huh. When this hadith comes about, well, hadith sahih, narrated by Abdullah bin Mas'ud and found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi and other books of ahadith, authentic. Here we have certain women known as feminists. These are from among the Muslims. They have trouble with this. What do you mean, al-mar'atu awrah? That's very insulting. That's very sexist. And as a result, these words are spewed out. Rejection of the hadith begins. We have a big issue in our deen. We need to deal with these ahadith. How can the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say such a thing? This hadith must be rejected. And, because they didn't understand what awrah is. Al-mar'atu awrah. First and foremost, when you hear a hadith like this, the believer should say, when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, did he say it to insult a woman and debase a woman and put the woman down? Did he? No. Khalas. Your problem's done. It's sorted. And this is the same methodology and approach you should come with all these ahadith. Hadith, for example, that mentions an-nisa naqisatu dinin wa aqd, that women are deficient in their intellect, deficient in their religion. This also poses a big problem for the women of the West. The feminist poses a problem. What do you mean? We're deficient in our intellect, in our deen. Ya Ammi. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, did he say it insulting the woman, putting the woman down, abusing the woman, mocking the woman? Because if you believe that, anta, you will become a kafir in this case. No. But if you don't believe this, then khalas, we solve the issue. Well, we don't have to go more than that. Well, yeah, big conferences, challenging ahadith, they call their conference. The conference is about discussing the most challenging ahadith of today's world. What for? Heather, the West didn't have anything to do except to throw doubt in the minds of young Muslims. That's all they do. And they have the time of day and night to do this. They don't care. And our Muslims, may Allah Azza wa Jal strengthen our iman and our submission to the message of Allah Azza wa Jal, they listen to this. Don't you see? Young boys and girls, they're all into this podcast. Listen, all these conferences, all this speaker. Wallahu a'lam who these speakers are, where they're coming from. Their background is not known. Their deen is not known. Their degrees are not known. Who their teachers are not known. And they're rising huge in number. And then our young boys and sisters, they fall into this. And it was very easy to just say, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say that insulting a woman. Even there is an understanding to it. We don't want to bring the hadith now and try to explain everything, but it's enough for you to know that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this and he did not intend to insult. Like the other hadith of لولا حواء لما خانت أنثى زوجها. This one causes an even bigger problem. If it hadn't been for Hawa, not a single woman would have betrayed her husband. هذا hadith, صحيح. It makes a huge problem in that group of people. Also the hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a woman was created from a rib. And the most bent part of the rib is the high part of the ribs. And then if you were to straighten the woman, you'd break her. And if you enjoyed her the way she is, you enjoy her with crookedness. Come on, this hadith is out of the window as well. All because they failed to realize and understand that these ahadith had meaning. They had meaning, but the problem was with the people doubting. How could this be said? It was very simple. To acknowledge and know that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say that insulting a woman. Na'am, and there's many يعني, in this regard. But we'll go back to al-mar'atu awrah. A woman is a awrah. This is not an insult. Rather, it means that there is fear for her. There is danger upon her. So she is to be protected and kept safe and sound. This is what it means. Al-mar'atu awrah. Just like we said, buyutana awrah. Our homes are unprotected. There's danger on them. So al-mar'atu awrah, meaning there is fear upon a woman. There is danger upon the woman. And as a result, she needs to be protected and kept safe and sound and reminded to do that. So now, Allahumma astur awrati, my Lord, safeguard and protect and cover my privates. Al-awrat are two types. Awrat, the shames and the privates of a person are two types. Physical and non-physical. Non-physical awrat are the sins, the shortcomings and the faults of a person. When you say Allahumma astur awrati, you're saying, oh Allah, cover my sins. Keep my sins concealed, my faults, my shortcomings, keep them covered. Why? Why is the believer concerned to keep his sins covered? لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, كل أمتي معافى إلا المجاهرون. Because all my ummah would be forgiven on the day of judgment except those who expose their sins. So if the believer wants Allah's forgiveness on the day of judgment, he must do a good job to keep them covered. How are you going to keep your sins covered? By asking Allah, here, Allahumma astur awrati. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates, hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari, that Allah Azza wa Jal would bring the slave on the day of judgment. He would bring him close to him. This is the believing slave. And Allah Azza wa Jal would show him his sins. And he would say to the servant, didn't you do such and such sin? And the servant will say, yes. He'll say, didn't you do such and such? And keeps going until Allah Azza wa Jal displays all his sins before him. And the slave of Allah has acknowledged all his sins. Standing before the Lord of the worlds. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنِّي سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْيَوْمَ أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ. Allah says, I concealed and covered them for you in this worldly life. Today I will forgive you. One second. Al-ulama rahimahum Allah said, the forgiveness did not happen unless it was covered and concealed. The condition for having sins completely covered on the day of judgment is that they must be covered. So Allah is saying to the slave, I covered them for you in this worldly life. So if you had exposed them, you won't get the second half, which is now you're forgiven. For it is very important to keep your non-physical awrat covered, which is your sins and faults and your shortcomings. Keeping them covered is a condition for complete forgiveness on the day of judgment. Look at mercy. Look at the mercy. This is what you need to be thinking when you're reading this dhikr. The second type of awrat are the physical awrat. The physical awrat of the body. For a man, it's from the navel to the knee. There is khilaf as to whether the navel and the knee is included or not. If a person did not cover the navel and the knee, no problems. So the awrah is in between the navel and the knee, without the navel and without the knee. But you need to be careful not to pray with such things. Because if you went in sujood, most definitely most of your thigh would be exposed. As a result, the entire salat is invalid. So you need to be aware of this. As for a woman, her entire body is awrah, all of it, in the presence of non-mahram men. There is khilaf concerning the hands and the face, but yani, an intellect, a sensible person, a person of reason, trying to understand the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal would know that the entire beauty of a woman, where is it? In her face. More specifically of the face, where's the beauty? Within the face. Ahsant, mashallah, in the eyes. And this is why when Allah Azza wa Jal described al-hur al-'ayn, how did he describe them? Wahurun 'ayn. What does wahurun 'ayn mean? Hurun Ayn is the name of these women, of the believers in the paradise, but that actually is describing their eyes. Al-Hur is the blackness of the eye. Al-Ayn is the wideness of the eye and the extreme whiteness in the eye. So Hurun Ayn together, it's explaining and describing how wide the eye is and how extremely black it is from the inside and extremely white on the inside as well, where the white and the black is. Mujahid radiallahu anhu, he said, لِأَنَّهُ يُحَارُ الطَّرَفُ فِي حُسْنِهَا. He brings another meaning. He said it was called حُورُ الْعِينَ because the eye is blown away from their beauty. But the idea I'm saying is that the beauty of a woman is in her face, more specifically the eye. So it only makes sense that the entire face should be covered and the entire woman should be covered, right? And when a person marries, he looks at the face. You don't look at the hand and then you suggest, khalas, I'll make a decision, I'll marry based on her hand. No one does that. Rather, you would look at the face. If the face had beauty and you were attracted to it, you marry on this basis. So, yani, the opinion of the covering of the face, very strong opinion. We don't want to go into that. People, of course, have studied this matter. Of course, the woman that, yani, this is related to them. And yani, may Allah Azza wa Jal grant them the good choice and the right guidance to make the correct decisions. Now, and even if a woman was among her family and other women, remain covered. But if covering becomes a burden and a difficulty, then there's no issue. Yeah, the woman remains covered. This is what a woman is. Al-mar'atu awra. And if a woman is among women and she wanted to uncover, no problems. But she only uncovers the areas of wudu and the areas in where jewelry is placed. So, yani, some of the neck here, the places of al-wudu, the legs, and some of the shin, because that's a place of where jewelry is put, and the hair, and that's it. Allahumma astur awrati. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam, this is an extremely important dua, especially in the day and age that we live in. I tell you something, there are other narrations that this part of the dhikr was a general dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know this, Allahumma astur awrati wa amir rawati? That has been narrated in a sunnah as a dua separate to adhkar al-sabah al-masa, just as it on its own. Yani, it is encouraged and recommended for a believer to continue to make dua with these prophetic words, Allahumma astur awrati wa amir rawati. In your salat, fasting, in your travels, in wherever the dua is accepted, these words have been narrated separate to this adhkar al-sabah al-masa. That's how important it is. Today, I say to you that the dua is very important, especially for our sisters. In this day and age, the day and age of nakedness, vulgarity, shamelessness, nudity. The breasts are showing, the legs are showing, the shin is showing, the back is exposed, all of the hair is uncovered, and it's as though it's normal. And it's widespread among the community, Muslim, non-Muslim. And then in addition to this, it's all over social media. The sexualization of a woman, it's all over. An ad for a chocolate. What does that have to do with a semi-naked woman with them? What? We struggle to understand. But this is the world we live in. Shaitan has decorated the deeds. The only way you're going to buy a chocolate is if you look at this woman. How important is it to say, Allahumma astur awrati? Especially when you live in a day and age like this and you may be influenced very quickly. And who are the people that control social media? Who are the people that have the millions and millions of followers? Kids, naked women, naked men, actors, singers, sports stars. These are the people that run the world. These are, they call them the influencers. Influencers, because they really do have an influence on those followers that follow them. They begin to act like them, dress like them, eat like them, wear like them. And if you or your children are caught up with this social media, watching these influencers, the human being, in one single day, on average, is scrolling 90 meters a day, on average, a study mentions. 90 meters a day, they are looking through influencers and whatever it is. Wouldn't it play a role in how a person would walk out of his house and how he dresses? Most definitely. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I talk to my sisters especially, not covering your awrah, it's become a light matter, but wallah, wa uqsimu billah, it's a major sin. Not wearing a hijab is a major sin. Where did this come from? From hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in where he said, صِنْفَانِ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ لَمْ أَرَهُمَا قَطْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there are two categories of people that we've thrown in the fire. لَمْ أَرَ, I haven't seen them yet. Meaning they haven't come in his time yet. No, they're going to come later. They didn't exist in his time. One of these categories, he said, نِسَاءٌ كَاسِيَاتْ عَارِيَاتْ. He said, women that are كَاسِيَاتْ. كَاسِيَاتْ meaning dressed. But then he described these dressed women as عَارِيَاتْ. عَارِيَاتْ meaning naked. Meaning tight clothing, transparent clothing, wearing clothing that reveals the shape and the size and the structure and the figure of the body and the different parts of the body. This is what ariyat mean. Hey, when they clothed. But this is not clothed. This is nakedness. Subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ma'ilatun mumilat. These same women are ma'ilat. Ma'ilat to veer off. Meaning they have veered off the obedience of Allah azza wa jal. Ma'ilat also means to be inclined. Meaning these are women that are inclined to shamelessness and immorality and filth. Then he said, mumilat. Mumilat, it's describing their walk. Meaning as this woman walks, she sways. A swaying walk in her hip, in her shoulder. That's how she walks. Then he added one more description. رُؤُسُهُنَّ كَأَسْنِمَةِ الْبُخْتِ الْمَائِلَةِ He said, their heads are like a camel hump. Now you know, of course, there's something known as the low bun and the high bun. This is talking about the one that is right up the top of the head, in where the hair is brought in a bun and put right on top of the head. This is what the hadith is referring to. As for the fact that if a woman was to tie her hair in a manner that is yani the lower bun, where it's at the back of the head, then inshallah this does not include yani within this hadith. So if a woman fit this description of these few things that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then this is the woman that لا يدخلن الجنة ولا يجدن ريحها. They do not enter the paradise and they would not smell its fragrance. Maybe she's a believer. But what the hadith would mean is that she will not enter from the first of those who enter. It's going to take a long time before she enters. After Allah Azza wa Jal gives her from the punishment that she deserves, if Allah Azza wa Jal was to decree punishment upon her. But why would a woman or a sister expose herself to such a thing? This is why Allahumma astur awrati, cover my privates. Because look what it leads to. Jahannam wal iyadhu billah. Oh, my brothers and sisters in Islam, teach your children al-hijab. Teach your girls al-hijab. Teach them to cover up. Wallah, ana, yani, a few months ago, there was a brother. We had a discussion with him. He has a daughter in high school. Discussion, one thing led to another. Eventually, at the end, yani, we're asking about his daughter. She's in high school. She doesn't wear hijab. A woman should be wearing al-hijab by the age of 10. From there, starting on, and then by the age of puberty, it becomes khalas wajib. But anyway, we had a discussion. His daughter is way beyond the age of puberty. She's not wearing al hijab. So he said, why? He said, wallahi, brothers, I want her to be convinced. I want her to be convinced about the hijab. At her own pace. I go, mashallah, wallah, beautiful. I go, brother, I want to ask you a question. If your daughter said to you tomorrow, I don't want to go to school until I'm convinced, what would you do? He goes, this is different. Of course I'm going to force her. Yeah, but why? This is different. I said, yes, of course it's different. This is something and this is something. But the problem is you didn't know which of the two were more important. You didn't see which one was more of priority. For subhanAllah, the idea, the issue is, many times we are witnesses against our own selves, Allah. We don't realize it. We don't realize it. But most of the times we do things, we are witnessing against our own selves. Huh, there's your attitude of forcing, and there's your attitude of teaching in when it comes to matters of all the related matters. And what was this? Is this important? What about religious matters? Was convinced, whatever you want, up to you. This is your journey in life. Oh, that's when it comes to religious matter. And then you complain about having boys and girls that are weak in their faith. Because their parents had a weak attitude with them. I don't believe any parent who tried to implement al-hijab in the correct way. I'm speaking about the correct way. And explained it really well. And the mother herself committed to al-hijab properly. Most likely the children would follow their mother and would not understand what al-hijab is and would want to protect themselves. Amma, when you speak to your daughter in this way, khalas, it's up to you, girl. Whenever you like to wear it, we're here to support you. Goodbye, I will do a hijab party for you as well. We'll clap for you as well. This is destroying us. Wallahi, we do not realize how much it's destroying us. Wish shaitan has decorated it. No, decorated it with a party. Call it hijab party. Literally, subhanAllah. And we think it's good. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. What was enough for the previous generations is enough for us. The previous generations, it was enough. As soon as the commandment for hijab came down, the women rushed to their closets at home and ripped pieces of their garment and covered their heads with it. They didn't go purchase something new. They didn't go to a hijab store and make it more, purchase online and choose a color and select a type and a silk material. They went and cut from what they had already of their garment, put it on their heads and walked out. The rush to the obedience of Allah and His Messenger was what Allah Azza wa Jal wants to see. Not the material that was on their head. Maybe it was ripped and crooked and it wasn't covering properly. That doesn't matter. The idea was the rush to their submission. Now, alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us clothing. قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ Allah says. Allah Azza wa Jal says, O Bani Adam, we have sent down clothing. We've sent it down. يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ So it can cover your privates. Sent down clothing. العلماء رحمهم الله say, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal sent down the rain. The rain gave, it allowed the cotton to grow, or it fed the animals, and then as a result the cotton was taken away and the silk was taken from the worm and whatever it is, and then clothing was made. So originally clothing, it's the first process is rain coming down from the sky, subhanAllah. Allah says, I've given you clothing, libasan, why? يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ So it can cover your privates. So you know, when you use clothing to expose your privates, this is being ungrateful to ni'matullah azza wa jal. When a woman wears clothing that does not cover her privates, such as the tight clothing and so on, this is kufru ni'mah. She's being ungrateful to ni'matullah azza wa jal. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ And the same I say for women is the same for men as well. يعني, it's not pick and choose here. But a person يعني, emphasizes more on the woman because there are set instructions from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that came about al-hijab. And I emphasize and I stress upon it over and over because this is a problem in the community and around the world. Believe it or not, even in the Arab lands. The Arab land now has a new hijab. It's gone backwards. Now it covers like this. And this part of the head is showing. Wallah, this did not exist 5 years ago. It'll go back a little bit more until it's gone down. And some just put it on like that, but doesn't cover the head. And it's according to who they see. If they see someone they respect, they put it up straight away. There's someone coming with that. It's quick in front of him. As soon as he goes back. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Now, subhanAllah, as though the non-mahram person is the man of religion. And the mahram is anyone else. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ My brothers and sisters in Islam, al-hijab brings upon the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is purity for the heart. It keeps the woman modest. Al-hijab is fitrah. Al-hijab is a worship for Allah Azza wa Jal. It saves a person and a woman from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if it saved a woman from the punishment, meaning opposite is true, she enters the paradise. And it grants a woman levels in iman. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minina yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin. This is an instruction. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, O Rasulullah, say to the believing woman that they dress. Believing woman. He called them believers. He called them mu'mineen. Even a woman who commits to al-hijab is a believer, no doubt. And another issue that does come to mind as well when we're speaking about Allahumma astur awrati is sport and woman. Sport and woman. This is another ibtila wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Today, the father, the mother have no issue in dropping off their teenage daughter to a park full of men and women in her sport clothing to play sport on the field. How is this fine? How is it permissible for a woman to play sport with this dressing, with this kind of clothing in the presence of men? I give you something. First and foremost, a woman is allowed to play sport. No problems. Halal, 100%. No problems. But if a woman is going to play sport, then there are certain things that must be observed and taken into consideration. Number one, she must make sure that it is away from the eyes of men. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he raced Aisha radiallahu anha. That's a form of sport. But before he did that, he said to the army with him, go ahead of us. Go ahead. He made sure not a single man was in sight of him and his wife. Then he raced her. You all know Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. Whoever's been there knows that when it comes to As-Safa wal-Marwa, there are green lights. What do you do in the green lights? You jog in between these green. The most corrupt of women knows that a woman should not jog. The most corrupt, and I'm saying. Let alone the righteous woman knows that this is a no-go. Definitely, woman should not jog. Ya me, why? Why, sister? Why? We're in Mecca. We're in the Holy Lands. We're in a masjid. We're in a worship. We're in Umrah. But there's no fitna here. No one's looking at another sexually. So why don't you jog? Yani, if a woman could jog in front of men, then the only place would have been there. Because it's the safest place in terms of fitna. But even then, it was haram and forbidden. And consensus of an ulama. I told you, even the most corrupt woman will not differ and will say woman should walk there. Why? Because when we're going to walk and jog and everything is going to show. So we can't do that. How can we do that in front of men? Why does it change when we're out on a sport film? But these places become even worse. It becomes even more haram in sport fields and indoors and wherever it is. Now, so this is something that is not being taken into consideration very lightly among the community. It brings a lot of sorrow and sadness to the heart of Allah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect our privates. And the second thing that women and sport that should be taken into consideration is that women should not dress tightly among each other. They're fitna for a woman. So as a result, loose clothing. Then you can send your daughters to sport and play with other girls indoors, away from the eyes of men, as long as they want. No problems. Hey, they're permissible. This is something encouraged. And we encourage this kind of culture. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that yani, these kind of facilities could be available in this country, Allah, because otherwise the people just follow whatever people follow. And Allah. Amma, if there were facilities for this, yani, we'd have at least a lot more control over this matter. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Allahumma astur awrati. My brothers and sisters in Islam, when a Muslim man and a Muslim woman make this dua, then you must act upon it. Then a dua is not only words you say and then you have nothing to do with them. A dua is words you say on the tongue and then actions that you follow. So if you asked, oh Allah, cover my privates, then do what is necessary to cover your privates. And keep away from the gatherings of filth. Keep away from the gatherings of immorally dressed women, because that can have a bad consequence and effect on a woman. And do not follow their accounts. Remove yourself from the accounts. And I told you, and I say again, a lot of these hijab stores we have today, they are not selling authentic prophetic hijab. Wallahi, they're not. So be very careful in what you're purchasing. And understand what are the 8 rules when it comes to al-hijab. What is supposed to be observed in order for a woman to dress in the manner that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislated for her. Now, وَآمِنْ رَوْعَاتِ. And O Allah, grant me safety and security from my fees. آمِن meaning safety, security. Opposite to آمِن, opposite to safety and security is fee. So now you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal for safety and security. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, safety and security is a huge blessing. Food security, the safety of the land that you live in, this is a huge ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why when Allah Azza wa Jal counted his blessings upon Quraysh, he said what? In Surah Quraysh, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ. Look at these two things. He fed them from hunger, and he provided them with safety from fear. With Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he first entered al-Balad al-Haram, he made a dua. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَارْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Oh Allah, grant safety and security to this country, to this land, and provide its people with sustenance and provision. Two things. You see these two things? Food security and security of the land. If these two things, or one of them, did not exist, that town would become unlivable. Let's say there's no food security. You can see around the world, countries that are struggling to eat, people are trying to run out of it, people are killing each other. And then security as well, security of the land. If there's no law on the land, if there's no law, and the best law is the law of Allah Azza wa Jalla, if that doesn't exist on the land, look what happens. Look at people as well, same thing. Kill each other, murder each other, rob each other. And only today we witnessed also a killing, may Allah Azza wa Jalla grant mercy upon our brother Taha. But the idea is because the law of Allah Azza wa Jalla is not implemented. Yeah, it's a secular law, that's what the country we live in. But if Allah's laws implemented even here, these things would be way, way less than what we see today. Because Allah's law would say for the killer, come, we're going to behead him in front of everyone. Imagine you knew you're going to be beheaded before everyone. And then, khalas, no one will come near this crime. And this type of law of Islamic Sharia is still being implemented in parts of the Muslim lands. And so as a result, well, it really has an effect. There are studies to show you that crime rate in Muslim lands that implement the beheading for the one who killed, for the murderer, it almost doesn't exist. It's very rare that someone kills someone. It's effective. But the Western law is what? For the murderer, we send him to prison. Okay. Well, how many years? How many years does he do? I don't know.
Different.
Everyone's different. Some 5, 10, 8. Anyway, whatever the case is, he goes in prison. He comes out leading a gang. He comes out worse than he went in. A failed system from the very beginning to the end. It's not working at all. Nothing will work except the law of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, and people will get to learn this lesson. But the idea is, وَآمِنْ رَوْعَاتِ. Grant me safety. Safety, my brothers and sisters. Food security. Safety on the land. Safety on earth. These are blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla would mention in the Quran. Now, but now here more specifically, we say, grant us safety and security from our fees. آمِنْ رَوْعَاتِ. Meaning, give me safety and security that removes my fears, my worries, my anxieties, my concerns. That's what we're asking Allah when we say wa amin rawati. Rawati, it's a plural of rawa, and it means fee. Here you said, oh Allah, grant me safety that removes my fees, plural, rawati, fees, yeah? Why is it plural? The ulama, rahimahumullah, they say that the things that a person fears are many. A person fears for his health, for his wealth, for his children. He fears for his fitan, for his iman. He fears the fitan around him. He fears, as we mentioned, again, we'll bring it up, the LGB. He fears. These are fears. He fears his work. He has fears in his day-to-day responsibilities, right? So the fears are many. So we said, oh Allah, grant us safety from our many fees, rawati. Allah, Allah, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah, this is an extremely important dua. Again, I tell you, if you observe the situation of people today, many people are overcome by fear and anxiety and depression. Mental illness is the illness of the day and age. That's the illness of today, mental illness. People are struggling all over the place. So many have a lot to talk, but they don't speak and they don't say to anyone anything. And their heart is full of rawat, full of anxieties, fears, worries, concerns. And you know, if you had among these concerns, one concern, which is the concern of the afterlife, this would be the best concern of them all. That's the only concern that the believer should always carry in his heart. The concern of the afterlife and meeting Allah Azza wa Jalla. Every other concern goes away the day you die. But you're concerned for your children. When you die, it's no longer a concern. And you're concerned for your wealth and for your job and for this and for your... All of these concerns will die. If you had the concern of meeting Allah and standing before Him, that's a healthy concern, that one, because it keeps you on your feet to continue monitoring your iman and your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so, yani, I conclude with reminding you again that I said to you, this part of a dhikr, Allahumma astur awrati wa amir rawati, has been legislated as a dua separate from the adhkar al-sabah al-masa due to its importance. You understood its importance, yeah? We explained it. So now in your salat, when you're fasting, when you're traveling, between the adhan wal-iqama, must, Allahumma astur awrati wa amir rawati, being mindful of what it means and how powerful it is. If Allah Azza wa Jal was to conceal your privates, your awrat, if Allah Azza wa Jal was to give you safety from your fears, khalas, and today you're on your way to the paradise. Now, there's one more part for this dhikr. That's the second half. Allahumma ahfazni min bayni yadayya wa min khalfi wa an yamini wa an shimali wa min fawqi wa a'udhu bi'azamatika an ughtala min tahti. The last part of this dua, Allahumma ahfazni min bayni yadayya wa min khalfi wa an yamini wa an shimali wa min fawqi wa a'udhu bi'azamatika an ughtala min tahti. Now we are asking Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us from six sides. We're asking Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from in between our hands, from in front of us, protect us from behind us, protect us from our right, protect us from our left, protect us from above. And when it came to below, we didn't say protect us from below. We say something separately. When we get to it, we'll explain it, because there's something different about it. But let's focus on these five directions. We said, oh Allah, grant us, oh Allah, protect us from these five directions. Protect us. You know, harm, when evil and harm comes to a person, it comes to him from one of these five directions most likely. Right? Something might fall above you. Something might hit you from the front. Something might hurt you from the back. Something might come to the side, on the left, on the right. This is possible. So as a result, the believer is saying, oh Allah, protect me from all around and from above me. And look how beautiful this dua is. You did not even ask Allah what to protect you from. Yeah, you did not say, oh Allah, protect me from a rock that falls from above. You didn't say, oh Allah, protect me from an accident, from a car, from a knife that comes from the front or the left or the right or the back of me. No. You asked Allah to protect you from the directions. How powerful is this? Yani it's like you're asking, oh Allah, protect me from all harms and all evils, no matter what they are. So now you're only focused on the direction. And that would mean that you're asking Allah to protect you from everything that could come in front that harms you. And everything that could come from the back that harms you. And everything that comes from the left and the right and above that could harm you and damage you and destroy you. Beautiful dua. Allahumma yani ihfazni min bayni yadayya wa min khalfi wa an yamini wa an shimali wa min fawqi. Also, this doesn't only mean the physical harms that could harm you. This also includes who? Ash-shaytan. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he said in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah Azza wa Jal, when he spoke about Ash-shaytan and his plan against mankind, what did he say? He said, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Shaytan made an oath. He took a promise. He said, I will come to them from in between their hands and from behind them and their right and their left. And you will hardly find any of them grateful. Right? And he is moving along in his plan. He's moving along. So when you say, Allahumma, protect me from in front, behind, left and right, above, meaning from physical harms and from the harm of Iblis, the shaytan that said he'll come from in front, behind, left and right. Now shaytan, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explains, what does it mean that the shaytan is coming from the front of them and from behind them, from the left and from the right? What does it mean? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, the shaytan coming in front, meaning he will cause them to doubt the afterlife. Because the afterlife is ahead of us, right? So he will cause them to doubt resurrection, the meeting with Allah. He'll cause them to doubt the paradise, the hellfire, especially at the time of their death, which is something known as fitnatul mamat. He comes at the time of death, that's his last shot with Bani Adam, to get them away from Iman and from certainty in the promises of Allah Azza wa Jal. But if a believer always lived upon La ilaha illallah, Allah grants him protection at that last moment and he gives him that iman that he needs to meet Allah Azza wa Jal with. So that's what it means that the shaytan presents in front of them. Shaytan also comes from behind. Wa min khalfihim. What does that mean? Khalfihim. What are you going to leave behind you? The worldly life. So him coming from behind, meaning he will tempt them in this worldly life. He will deceive them in this worldly life. He'll drag them and reel them into the fitan and pleasures and temptations of this worldly life. As a result, they lose their deen and their steadfastness altogether. He will also come from their right. What does that mean? The right is associated to good deeds. So him coming from the right, either that he will poison your good deeds with riya, with showing off, and then the deed is destroyed. Or he will keep you lazy away from deeds, good deeds, and he will continue to move you away from good deeds, and he'll also come to them from their left. Left is associated to bad deeds, so it means he will encourage them towards doing the immoralities and the bad deeds and the sins. For now, enter in this simple dua, oh Allah, protect me from in front, from behind, from left, right, from above. And now you're covered from physical harms and damages, and from this shaitan's harm and this shaitan's damage. And then at the end we said, وَأَعُوذُ بِعَظَمَتِكَ أَنْ أُغْتَالَ مِنْ تَحْتِي. And oh Allah, I seek your protection. I seek protection by your greatness. أَعُوذُ بِعَظَمَتِكَ. This is the name of Allah, Al-Azim. I seek protection by your greatness that I get destroyed from beneath me. So this beneath me wasn't included in the five directions that were mentioned. It was given a separate mention, and it began with, and I seek your protection through your name Al-Azim that I may be destroyed from beneath me. Firstly, because it's rare. It's not, a person does not expect to be destroyed and doomed and ruined from underneath him. No one expects that, right? You don't expect it. So it was given a separate mention, because only Allah Azza wa Jalla would know what kind of trouble and what kind of calamity and what kind of destruction can come on a person from underneath. The ulama, rahimahumullah, they have different meanings for أُغْتَالَ مِنْ تَحْتِي. What does it mean that I may be destroyed from beneath? Some ulama said, it's for a person to be killed unexpectedly. Or for a person to be killed alone without the presence of anyone. So he's killed alone and left alone and no one ever finds him. This is أُغْتَالَ مِنْ تَحْتِي. Other ulama also mentioned, and this is also true, مِنْ تَحْتِي meaning that which destroys mankind from underneath it, such as landslides, وَالْخَسَفْ. Al-khasaf is being pulled into the earth. Floods, person is washed from underneath him, he's gone. Tsunamis, earthquakes, Allahu Akbar. The earthquake, the recent earthquake, it shook for maybe 30 seconds max. Tens and thousands buried and killed. Cities have been completely destroyed. Perhaps there's no return to these cities ever again. Imagine it shook for 5 minutes. Imagine 5 minutes. And bodies couldn't even be pulled out and buried individually. They had to bury them all in mass graves. That is how big the destruction is. وَأَعُوذُ بِعَظَمَتِكَ أَنْ أُغْتَالَ مِنْ تَحْتِي. Oh Allah, protect me through your power and your greatness and your might, that I be destroyed from underneath me. Allahu Akbar, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah. And we're walking on a stable earth. We don't realize that the stability of earth is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. The stability of earth allowed human beings to plant it, allowed the human being to build on it, to work on it, to walk on it. If the earth would shake, no one would be able to do anything on it. You wouldn't even be able to sleep, as simple as sleeping. You wouldn't even be able to do that if the earth continuously shook. You know, look at the people that go on a boat. You know, and they get seasick on a boat. That's what, after just a few hours. And he's vomiting and he can't sleep. And if he slept, he gets up and he had headaches. Imagine the earth was like that. It just kept moving like you're on the ocean. The stability is a big ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah. And so this is why we're asking Allah Azza wa Jalla to protect us from underneath us, that we don't get destroyed and killed from underneath us. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us all safety and protection. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He preserve our iman, our deen, our relationship with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us goodness in this life, goodness in the afterlife. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and our shortcomings and all of our faults. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us all and to admit us into the highest levels of the paradise. والله أعلم إنه لي ذلك القادر عليه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين